This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Hello, all you lovely people, and for tonight, all of you lovely dragons that might be watching, we were just clarifying that Steve actually thought that one of our guests tonight was an actual dragon, and was shocked to find out that he wasn't. So, are you over that yet, Steve?
I'm still reeling over it. I was so disappointed. I expected, like, wings and fire out of the mouth and all that shit, but nope. Just a normal human being.
Sorry. Well, somebody yes. Yeah. Flesh, blood, and fat.
I'll get over it.
We'll say hello to our guests real quick. Then I'll take you through a couple of announcements that we have coming up for the month of November. Obviously joining us, Inane Dragon. Hello, sir. And Jeff Censored. What's going on? Welcome to the show. Jeff, are you with us?
Sorry, guys. I just had my mic down there for a second. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure. When Steve told you to turn it down, he didn't mean all the way down.
Just... yeah, I didn't mean mute. That's the difference. Somebody just noted to me that true dragons don't always assume their true form. So I'm not thoroughly convinced that an inane dragon is not a dragon. He could be just in Polly's form, human. Steve. So it's true.
Steve. Do dragons drink pumpkin beer?
What did I tell you about acting out in front of
what?
A company?
I have to look at the rules. Oh, God. There are dragon rules. I've read them.
I apologize. So for the month of November, we're calling it a November to Remember, because we have a lineup like you wouldn't believe, and I'm excited about it. So we'll give you a few hints. I have sought after this for probably about 4 months now, but we have Maddie's Paradigm who is coming, and Maddie's Paradigm believes that hell exists in the center of the earth, and it is expanding. And due to the expansion of hell, that is causing what we call global warming or climate change. I find this fascinating, and he has, he's not one of those people that just say something and doesn't attempt to back it up. He has like papers upon papers upon papers that he's done himself to try to explain this. And it's just, it's amazing. So I can't wait to have him on. We've got a guy that believes that salt can prove the existence of God or that we were created. We have Sargon of Akkad versus Adam Kokesh. That's going to be great. Steve, we'll have to, I don't know who will get a word in edgewise in that talk.
He liked me.
He didn't. I don't think he liked either of us.
I don't think he did either.
But it's going to be fun nonetheless.
You know it's bad when a guest really doesn't like either one of us, right?
True. And Aaron Ra will be back. He will be taking on Jason King. Jason King's an interesting guy, too. You can check out his channel. I think it's Jason666King, but he is a atheist, sort of, that kind of believes we were created. And then just... I don't know. So, yeah, it's a head scratcher. So we'll end it there. Steve, you got anything that you want to throw out there before we kick things off and get this started?
No, I think I'm good to go. I'm actually looking forward to this discussion here because I don't know how this is even going to play out. So this is going to be entertaining one way or another, got to say. I remember very vividly when this event happened, and I remember all the chats that were going on for so long on this particular topic.
Yep. Just throw this out there.
Kids.
If you haven't seen yet, there's a link in the description for Proofs of Dave's GoFundMe. Check that out when you get the chance, and donate if you can. Steve brought up a good point there. I think pretty much all of us can remember where we were when it happened. I was in high school. I was in 11th grade. And I remember being at the, I had asked to go to the bathroom. We had little like hall pass things that we had to sign out. And I was looping around back to the classroom to get water. And the TV in the office was on. And I remember seeing it there. And I remember thinking, wow, some idiot just flew a plane into the World Trade Center. The second plane hadn't hit yet. So I go back to class and the teacher's it's math class, and he was going through a problem, and somebody had gotten a text message, told the teacher turned on the TV, and right when the TV popped on is when the second tower came down, and you could just see the look on the teacher's face. I don't think when I was that age, or this was an era before, you know, terrorism was really a, you know, kind of a household name, but it didn't hit me until I looked at the teacher's face, and the teacher's face was just like white. And you knew something like really bad and tragic had happened. And there was more to it than just somebody flying a plane into the towers. So before we kick things off, let's let each of our guests introduce themselves, plug any channels that they have or any kind of social media, where to follow them, and then we'll get started. So Inane, we'll start with you.
All right. Well, I'm Inane Dragon, and I tackle topics of religion, science, and quackery over on my channel, Inane Dragon, on YouTube, and pretty much any social media where I'm active, you'll find me as Inane Dragon.
Cool. And once again, just to put the story to rest, he is not an actual dragon.
I don't believe that yet.
Jeff Sinford. Introduce yourself,
yeah,
sir.
Hi. My name is Jeff Censored on the most censored channel in YouTube history. They don't want you to know what I know. They don't want you to listen to me, so they crush all my channels. You can find me currently on Jeff Censored and Supreme Lord Commander for more entertainment sort of analysis. And I've been exposing the New World Order for almost 7 years.
Just curious, what are you the Supreme Lord Commander of?
Oh, that's kind of an inside joke. It would take too long to explain, but basically it was just kind of a way that people were thinking of me back at a past, so I kind of embraced it.
Gotcha. It seems like an odd question to ask, but go ahead.
You're not Zenu, are you?
Please be Zenu.
You're definitely not Zenu, right?
Please be Zenu. Not what? Zenu?
The Supreme Commander of the Galactic Empire.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
The God of Scientology.
It seems like an odd question for me to ask, like, but if you've watched the show, then you'd understand that it's not, because even Monday we have a gentleman coming on that thinks similarly, that he is the reincarnation of Jesus, so it wasn't that awkward of a question.
I'm only joking. I don't think I'm a reincarnation of anything. Okay. I'm just a guy. Yeah.
Just checking.
Sorry to disappoint.
So we'll kick things off with you, since you think that there was more to 9/11, and just to kind of get a understanding of where you're coming from and what you believe or think happened. So can you kind of give us a rundown of what you think really happened with 9/11?
Well, 9/11, a bunch of towers came down and a alleged plane crash into the Pentagon and another one into a cornfield. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of evidence to support that this happened. The big question that, or the quagmire that people seem to get tied up in, is the how, when it's really more about the who and why that is really what people should be concerned about. And I think the who and why is pretty obvious. And I think we are all living in the shadow of 9/11. And in many ways, the manifestation of this is in the security surveillance apparatus that we all are now being watched. All these surveillance agencies merging together to form a global sort of New World Order surveillance. And this is very, very bad for humanity, because we're all being watched, essentially. And I think that 9/11, you know, you talked before about the terrorism, and it was relatively a new thing. It wasn't at all a new thing. There had been terrorist attacks in the United States and terrorist attacks in Canada, and of course in Europe, especially in places like France. In the decades preceding that, there was even a prior alleged attack in 1993 on the World Trade Center. So we were well-groomed for terrorism and well-groomed for 9/11. In fact, much of the entertainment and movies that were around at the time were depicting mass terror attacks. So we were being predictively programmed into accepting it. And when it happened, of course, all the answers were already available before even the dust had settled, literally, on the trade centers. And we knew who the culprit was, and we knew what their motives were, of course, destroying our freedoms because they hate us. And the world's most powerful nation, the most powerful nation in the history of the world that we know, was brought to a complete standstill by allegedly 19 Arabs with box cutters. It's a nice trick. It really is. And if you believe in that one, you know, I could tell you the story about the, you know, the green giant, or
let me just interrupt for just a second. And then we'll let Inane kind of respond. But just so that we're all on the same page, in case it's not obvious for people who are watching, who was behind it and why? Tell us that. Like, who do you think was really behind it and why?
Well, we know that 9/11 is a massive sort of occultic event that's coded with all their symbolism. And we know that all the people that were in the positions of power that had access to the site, to the scene, were all in their positions and all ready to carry out this deed. So largely what we're talking about, I mean, like, it would be a mistake to say the Illuminati, just like it would be a mistake to say the Zionist, because that would make you think of just one group and not really understand that there's more to it. But what we have is an Anglo-American Israeli sort of alliance that brought this about. And this involves a network that has been built up over the past few hundred years of elites in the world, elite royal bloodlines that control this world. And we live in their theater. Like, it's not that 9/11 is just an inside job. All of your major events are inside jobs, all of them. And every major shooting or bombing is almost definitely orchestrated by this same cabal. So we're talking about a powerful cabal of elites that have run this planet for a very long time. And they intend to run it forever more. And we are being set up for their new world order.
Okay. All right. That's a lot. That's a lot to respond to, Inane, but I'm going to now turn it over to you guys. It's going to be a free flowing conversation between the two of you. Steve and I will step in just to make sure that you guys don't talk over each other. Please don't do that, so that the audience can follow along and hear everything that you have to say. We'll give you as much time as you need on both sides, but just respect each other when the other one's talking, so that we can all understand where you're going. So, Inane, whenever you're ready.
All right. So actually, because I don't want to straw man Jeff's position, my first point is a question. Could you explain what you mean by predictive programming, because I've read up on it since you brought it up in our Twitter conversation, and I think I understand what's supposed to be meant by it, but I want to make sure that what you mean by it is the same thing that, say, David Icke means by it before I try and comment to it.
Should I want to reply right away with that then?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. So predictive programming is when you, as a person or people in general, are programmed by their media, by their entertainment, into what is going to happen. So it's like showing you over and over again something that's going to happen in the future, so that when it actually does happen, your mind has already accepted it and is already, it's not a shock. It could be still shocking to you, like 9/11 was to just about anybody that lived through it. And I know you guys were kind of talking about what happened on the day. And I remember that day, like, you know, like unlike any other sort of thing. So I know exactly what you're saying. But the fact that we're shown these things that happen over and over again, and then they happen in real life. So like The Simpsons showing you, say, that Trump was going to be president back in the 90s, and then they show him doing the exact same thing, and he's president, and he's going up an escalator. Like, you know, the Family Guy is showing that Bruce Jenner is dressed up in drag and dancing for a bunch of sailors in 2009. And then, you know, 5 years or 6 years later, he's on the cover of the magazine there, coming out as a transgender. Like Seth MacFarlane, again, with Family Guy, showing two bombs go off in his show a month to the day before they go off in Boston. And then the night before the bombings go off in Boston, April 15th, 2013, you have his other show, American Dad, showing a guy bringing his date home, talking about having a blast, call the bomb squad, that makes two blasts, sort of thing.
Okay,
and then the next day you have the two bombs going off.
If I'm understanding correctly, it's context independent. It's not like, let's say, for example, with goodness, I can't quite remember the name. I think it was Lone Gunman, the TV show. They had their series premiere in the months before, like I think it was January of 2001, and they had a hijacked plane by a government conspiracy fly into a building and bring it down. And that's predictive programming for 9/11, even though in context you would think it's programming you to believe that 9/11 was an inside job, if you include the context around the event.
Yeah, but most people, a little bit of feedback.
Jeff, are you watching the stream back, or do you have headphones on? It may be looping back through, but we're getting a little bit of an echo from your end.
Hang on a second here. I'll get my headphones, okay? So I'll be right back.
Sure. Anane, do you want to kind of give your thoughts thus far while we wait for him to plug in his headphones?
Well, I'm really curious about whether or not he thinks predictive programming is context dependent or not, because that really gets into some issues with our best models of how humans learn.
Got it. Okay. And okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I got my headphones on, so hopefully that'll take care of if that was me.
Keep away the feedback.
Hopefully. Yeah. So, I mean, you ask a good question, and I'll try to do my best to answer it. Cause like, aren't they showing us? I mean, if they show us this over and over again, like they did with 9/11, and there are hundreds, literally hundreds of examples of the Twin Towers coming down or exploding or having explosions go off in them, some of them just months or even weeks before the actual event happened. And so if you say, well, isn't it like them showing us this, wouldn't that wake up people to what they're up to? And the answer is, it'll wake up.
Like with the lone gunman, where the context of the towers being attacked was as part of a government conspiracy. I'm wondering whether or not predictive programming accounts for context.
Yeah, I mean, it's more difficult for someone like myself to get into the minds of the people that orchestrated 9/11 to know exactly all their black magic and why they do what they do. But in many ways, 9/11 is...
I'm talking about your theory of predictive programming.
All right. Let each other finish.
Ask me... Okay, so you want to know... You're saying that them showing us this stuff would lead to us learning that they're behind it, sort of thing? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm trying to understand about predictive programming is it sounds like all that we're supposed to take away, all that gets planted in our mind, is this idea of towers collapsing because of bombs. And then maybe something else makes us think terrorists because of, I don't know, well, the show 24 came after, but movies like Under Siege or that Alcatraz movie with Sean Connery, whatever the hell it was called, right, where terrorists were taking shit over. Mm-hmm. And so just because of these discrete images with no context, we are programmed to think towers get taken out by terrorists with airplanes.
Okay, how about
we accept it?
How about this? What they're going to do is going to be used in the maximum way, right? So there are major objectives, and what I outlined earlier was the surveillance state, because I think that out of all the things that happened out of 9/11, and it would be almost impossible to calculate how many different things have been affected by 9/11, but we'd have to think that in terms of world events, it's probably easily one of the biggest world events of the last 200 years. So much has come out of it as a result. So what I try to say about predictive programming is that by showing people, and 1984 is a great example of this in many ways, you know, because of a lot what was shown in that book is what's manifesting today. But like when they're able to traumatize you through the film. So when you go to watch a movie, you can't just think that you're watching a movie, that there's no intentions behind it. Even if it's a comic book movie, and even if it's a children's movie, if it's coming from Hollywood or if it's coming from the New World Order, it's going to be full of their symbols, of their witchcraft and everything else that they infuse into their creations. And it's used as programming. So my whole thing, if you catch on to my videos, you go to my channel, my intro always shows that your entertainment is programming. It's not entertainment. It's not there to entertain you, really. It does, and it can, but it's really much more about social conditioning. So what I try to say with the New World Order is that with 9/11, it's like, we're going to do this to you. It's going to happen. It's not that people that are watching, say, children's cartoons at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or something like that, and might see the World Trade Centers being bombed in a Spider-Man cartoon or something like that, are going to wake up and say, "Yeah, the Illuminati's behind everything." It's more like show people over and over again that these things can happen. When they happen, then people accept them. So, like Osama bin Laden, this is why I said what I said about the terrorism, where you guys were discussing in the beginning that terrorism wasn't really that big of a thing until 9/11. That's not true at all. It was a huge thing, and it was all over the place, and we were constantly being hit with terrorism and terrorism that stories.
I don't know that I'd go so far as to say constant, but that was a point I was actually going to agree with you on, terrorism was not a new thing, at least, and that we had seen plenty of it before.
Yes, exactly.
Including the 93 bombing, the
93 bomb. I mean, you can go through a number of airline bombings. You could talk about the Munich games. You could talk. There's so many different examples that you could give of acts of terrorism that had happened leading up to 9/11. So we were deep in a sort of Islamic terrorist sort of world, you know, where the enemy was the guy in the cave right up in Afghanistan, sort of thing, who hates our freedoms and wants to take us out, sort of thing. And much like 1984, it's just, here you go, we'll wag the dog, we'll create all these stories, we'll create these bombings, we'll create these events, and we'll condition people into thinking that there are people in caves in Afghanistan that want to destroy our freedoms. They just hate what we are, and they want to take us out. And then we'll hit all them right. over and over again, and we'll put it in all the television shows, we'll put it in all the movies, so that people, when it does happen, when the big thing does happen, everyone's going to come out and say, I hate terrorists. They hate us. We're going to stand up. Let's grab an American flag, you know, and a shovel and whatever, and a gas mask, and let's do what our country, okay, so, our president demands.
So I think I see how you believe predictive programming works and how it happens to us through the media. I just have a few problems with it now that I understand it better. And the first is that our best model of how humans learn includes something called social learning theory. And this is actually where things like social programming, using television to get people to think certain things or to behave certain ways, comes in terms of our model of how people learn. And it's entirely context dependent. If I show a movie about people hijacking an airplane and attacking a building, and that it's a government conspiracy, a la the Lone Gunman pilot episode, then what people are going to learn and take away and internalize out of that, if they internalize anything, is that government conspiracies cause terror attacks, and that terror attacks are actually faked in order to encourage surveillance states and the like. That was the message of the Lone Gunman, and that's what people are going to take away from it. And I'm sorry, but that's what social learning theory, the best theory of
that's
psychology.
Fine. What a book tells you and lays out as a definition. You're talking about a pilot episode of a show that practically nobody watched. It wasn't the Simpsons.
So you would agree that we should just ignore that. We need to have a high frequency of these things happening. Is that a fair point? We need to see this happening constantly?
No. I'm saying it's happening, and they're showing you it, and they have every confidence in the world that there's nothing that any of us can do to stop it. They control it all. So you've got to understand.
For the predictive programming to work, you're saying it has to be a very frequent thing that you see, not necessarily all over the place, but let's set a reasonable threshold. Let's say 5% of all movies need to contain enough elements of what they want you to believe for it to have an effect on the population.
I think you're thinking that you're okay. So I understand.
We're talking about a model of psychology. We're talking about how people learn. So you've got to have a mechanism
first of all, television doesn't. You don't learn from television. You get mind controlled. Television is mind controlled.
Sorry, program. So, same thing.
Yeah, it's not. Sorry? Say that again?
Learning is a form of programming. It causes engrams in your brain to form as passageways are basically built through your connecting different neurons together to form skill sets. It's a form of programming.
Yeah, exactly. A form of programming. There's a massive difference between teaching people.
And social learning theory includes how you get programmed through television shows. They actually discuss specifically.
There's a enormous difference between. There's a huge difference between, you know, teaching people how to think critically so that they can think for themselves, and or programming people, like mind controlling them into what they're doing massively to humanity now, and they have been doing for a long time.
Then let me choose different words. Would you say that? Because we seem to agree that the Lone Gunman is a one-off that we can just disregard, that you need a frequency of events. You said earlier, because it teaches you to think that, it programs you to think that government conspiracies cause terrorist attacks, such as 9/11, which would wake people up to the Illuminati, New World Order, whatever you want to call it. So we set that one aside because it goes counter to your theory. And we talk about, let's say you had an image you showed me that had 4 movie posters on it. And I went ahead and doubled that number to 8, figuring that maybe you had overlooked a bunch in your research or just didn't have them all crammed on there. And I did a low ball estimate of the number of movies released using data from Hollywood and from various other companies of how many movies were released in the same time frame. And I came up with something around the order of 2,450 movies. Mm-hmm. So is a 0.3% rate of movies containing themes about 9/11 good enough to program people?
Yeah.
Or do we need more?
A bit of a straw? You're all right. You don't know the symbols. You don't know how it's done. You don't know that it's in everything. You're
that's
assuming
why I asked you to explain it to me. And
that's why
I'm using your explanation.
You're thinking that they put a little bit here and a little bit there, and only a few people see it. And if people see the lone gunman, they're going to clue into that the government could be behind these things. Now, the lone gunman is an interesting
point.
Okay, but you know, you're thinking that most of the movies out there are not showing this, so how could it possibly have the effect that I think it's having?
I drew that conclusion because you did not present that evidence.
Well, I'm not here to present evidence. I mean, I can't even screen share or anything like that. I could show you predictive programming till the cows come home dealing with 9/11. That I showed a lot of that in the Twitter sort of back and forth.
If you have it, hoping real quick, if you have it, Jeff, you can send it to me and we can put it up for you.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have it ready, but I could dig it up pretty quickly. Let me just try to inform you what I see has happened over the past, especially since 9/11. All right, so I see a growing sort of world organization that's taking control of basically the entire world, and that we are all being misled by our media. We are all being deceived over and over again into thinking that these people are enemies or these people are our friends and this and that. And we're constantly distracted and programmed into, you know, just idiocy and worrying about the latest gossip and the latest drama. But in the meantime, the images that they show us constantly over and over again show us that these things are going to happen and that these things are coming over and over again. So what we have with 9/11 is that you build up a narrative for, say, a few decades, say 3 decades, they build up a narrative that there are people in the Middle East that hate America, hate us, you know, Iranians hate us, you know, Syrians hate us, Iraqis hate us, and this is a horrible problem. And they're attacking us and we're not safe. And then you put out these stories and there's bombings and there's derailments and there's all these terror acts that happen over a few decades. You build up a narrative in people's minds that there's a group of people on the other side of the world that hate everything that we are and want to destroy us.
We can flip that script.
So that when,
we can flip that script though, man. Because there are 10 times as many movies about government conspiracies trying to control the world as there are about 9/11 related terror concepts. You could,
really?
I could legitimately
really?
Make the argument
I don't believe
that were predictively programmed. There were 89
Can you
movies.
Just a few of them? Can you tell me just a few of them?
All the Presidents
I don't know
the Future World,
about.
Illustrious Corpses, Logan's Run, Marathon
Man. Slow down, and say them. Don't speed them out. Let me hear them so I can.
All
I can
of the President's Men. Which is
all
about two young reporters on
all of the President's
Future
Men.
World.
All right.
Future World. Which is about a reporter uncovering a conspiracy to replace the world leaders with androids. Illustrious Corpses.
Wow. That's from the 1970s, is it not?
Sure, which is from the same time span as some of the movies you picked out that were on your poster. I used your time frame that was on your poster.
I see what you're doing. All the President's Men is a wonderful piece of fiction. And what is that all about? It's all about a manufactured sort of conspiracy that they created.
All right,
and what
Wag
is it
the Dog, The Dark City,
well, there's another example.
Enemy of the State, Mercury Rising, The Negotiator, Snake Eyes. I can go on for quite a while listing examples of movies that have programmed you to believe in government conspiracies. How haven't you seen it, man? How haven't you seen it?
Okay, how
You've
about
been
this?
Programmed.
I'm not.
The predictive program proves that you have to believe in conspiracy theories because that's what they want you to believe.
All right, let's let him respond. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, okay.
How do you answer that?
First of all, mind control is a terrible sickness, and I really encourage everyone out there listening to break that mind control. Because if you're watching what they want you to watch, if you're playing what they want you to play, and you're eating what they want you to eat, and you're getting all, you know, excited about the things they want you to get excited, you're getting all riled up by the left, right, and you're picking sides and you're picking colors, then they have you exactly where they want you. Their world is mind control. Their movies are mind control. Their television is mind control. You're in their world. They're controlling you.
He asked you a very specific question, though, and I would like to hear an answer to it. If you're using movies as a means of saying that we were programmed, he listed off several movies as well that in the reverse could be said about people who are believe in conspiracies. So how do you answer that? Why is one okay as a piece of evidence, but the other is not?
All right. Very interesting. First and foremost, he's naming off a bunch of movies. Most of them I've never even heard of. And the ones that I have heard of are you know, pretty hilarious, like the All the President's Men and Future World. Those were two that I picked out that I was like, oh, yeah, I know those two. You know, yes, it's a good point. And if you wanted to take a sort of critical approach to predictive programming, and you could say, well, hey, look, they're showing you that the governments are full of corruption. But what governments are full of corruption? This is the whole thing that you're totally not getting. You're not understanding.
All of them. They're, the Manchurian candidate takes it all the way up to the New World Order, man.
Yeah, let him finish, and then we'll let you respond.
You're under the illusion that United States government acts alone, that there's nothing else that's coordinating it. You're under the illusion that the other national governments around the world are not conspiring with each other, are not controlled by a shadow government. This is the whole thing. So when movies can come out and they can say, look, the governments are corrupt. Look, the CIA is corrupt. Look, this is corrupt. And you think, well, they're showing that our governments are corrupt. Of course our governments are corrupt. Everybody knows that. You'd have to be a complete retard not to realize how corrupt governments are. That's not the point. They don't want you to look higher. They don't want you. They want you to stay in their left-right paradigm. They want you to stay Democrat, Republican. They want you to follow the white rabbit, or, you know, follow the other bullshit on the left side, sort of thing. They want you to stay in their world, and this is what you're not understanding. So you're saying, well, there's all these movies that give examples of corruption in the government. Yeah, corruption in the government. I mean, it's like snow in Canada in the wintertime. I mean, it's everywhere. Of course, there's corruption in the government. Everybody knows this, but that's not examples because they're not showing. These movies aren't showing that there actually is a shadow government that is controlling our governments. And this is what, yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's funny.
Yes, well, it is, because
it's funny. Really.
Just to clarify, sorry, I just want to make sure we're all, you're okay. You're okay. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. And maybe this will be a direction, a name that you can go in from here. But just because I'm curious, what's the like? Why would they telegraph these in movies? What would be the point of letting you know that there's a shadow government?
Well, there's several reasons. One, it's because they feel that there's nothing that can stop them. And they always use numbers and symbols and occultic sort of, symbols with everything that they do. So and another way too is a way of alleviating themselves of any guilt. They show you over and over again what they're doing to you so that they can say, well, you know, we showed it to you. It's like Black Mirror. There it is. We're showing you what we're doing to you, where we're taking you, what we're doing. And Black Mirror is a great example because you had the episode with the driverless pizza truck. And then the very next day that episode airs, Pizza Hut announces that they're going to have driverless pizza trucks. And everybody just says, oh, I just saw that on Black Mirror. Isn't that something? Well, that's what they're doing to us. They're showing us what they're going to do to us because what's that?
I think that's one of the best shows on.
Yeah, it is. It's showing you a lot of what's already happening right at this moment.
Okay.
And so we are already fallen far down. So, they believe that there's nothing that's going to stop them. They've been planning this for even hundreds of years now. So it's nothing, like, they believe fully that they will achieve this. So they, in some ways it's about just breaking us down. I mean, what they're doing to us essentially as human beings, what's happening to us is we're being dumbed down. massively. YouTube is a perfect, amazing example of that. Just look at what's trending. Look at your popular music. Look at the types of games that people are playing. Look at the suspended adolescence. Look at the obesity. Look at all the foods that people are eating. People are being, they're being just beaten down, and they're being traumatized by their media over and over again, and they're being made powerless.
Okay, let's hold right there. What I want to do, and I know with a subject like this, it can be easy to get off on, you know, several different rabbit holes. But I want to steer this back to where the subject at hand, which is 9/11 and the evidence that it was perpetrated by anyone other than the people, the terrorists who were on that plane. So, Name, do you want to kind of take us off into, like, I don't know how you want to approach from here, like the engineering aspects of it, you know, the wherever you.
Well, he doesn't.
Go ahead.
He doesn't really disagree necessarily, although it sounded like he thought maybe it wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon. But for the most part, it doesn't sound like Jeff disagrees with the notion that the plane struck the World Trade Center 1, World Trade Center 2, and the resulting calamity was a consequence of those plane crashes, with the heat of the fires causing basically a increased flexibility and a loss of strength in the steel beams that ultimately led to a collapse of the towers.
Okay.
So it doesn't really seem like there's too much to argue there.
Yeah.
Do you think that the towers came down from the planes hitting and not like some people say, which it was that they detonated bombs to bring it down in a controlled fashion?
Yeah, I think it's controlled for sure, 100%. But I don't really know.
There's our point of contention then.
Yeah. To me, the other element is more interesting. Like the whole discussion that was happening on Twitter, 9/11 is just one thing. It's a big one, but it's just one of many of their
machinations. On a unproductive theory of social programming that doesn't actually fit with the data.
Your entertainment is 100% mind control. Bullshit. It is mind control.
No,
you are under mind control. You don't understand it because
either look demonstrate a working theory of psychology or fucking stop. You don't get to pull this shit where you run off and go, you're under mind control, it's mind control. Actually explain the psychological mechanisms at work that explain why it works when 8 fucking movies can be presented that predict 9/11 through this programming, whereas 89 can be presented for government fucking conspiracies, and 4, I might include, international conspiracies, meaning your New World Order gets caught up in the bunch. And as for fucking calling me out for movies you had never heard of, you're picture shows The Squeeze, a 1980s era movie that had less than 580,000 viewers in the theaters, and you want to complain about how many people have seen a given movie?
That's not my picture. I don't know what the
Squeeze is. The picture that you posted in the Twitter in our Twitter discussion.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure which one. I probably have a lot of them. I just think that it's much harder for people to accept like people are programmed into accepting the paradigm that they create for you. And they want you to stay in that world. It's like an aquarium. They don't want you to leave the box. They want you to stay in there. So when somebody comes to you and says, hey, guess what? You're in a box. That's not a pleasant thing for people to deal with. So people react with anger.
And that completely dodges the question of how you think this actually works in a way that could actually be studied or explained in any form of a psychological setting or analysis. That is, any way that could be tested, demonstrated to be probably true or falsified. Anything that we can actually use to demonstrate you're doing anything other than pulling shit out of your ass. That's what I'm waiting for. I want to hear how you account for the fact that social learning theory says you're full of it.
Oh my God. Where's your social learning theory from? Which academic institution?
Now that we're going down that rabbit hole, can you provide evidence that the entirety of peer-reviewed journals and basically knowledge and learning for the past few centuries is so thoroughly under the control of a conspiracy that nobody has ever been able to pull a SoCal-style debunk where they demonstrate that, hey, as long as you toe this narrow line, you get published, but the minute you wander out of it, you get squashed? So where's your proof that there's a conspiracy of academics?
It's well known in academia, and I know this pretty well. It's well known that people are very afraid to step into certain areas. And so, like, gender dysphoria is one of the ones that many academics have been, potentially lost their careers over questioning the objectives of the New World Order, which is all depopulation to get people stop breeding. So they've been programming people, and they've been using academic institutions to use cultural Marxism to program people into, you know, fighting for the rights of the smallest minority over the majority in any way, shape, or form. So your academic institutions are the first ones that were overtaken, and it's well known.
So what you're saying is, let me see if I understand you correctly. We should take a theory that is well established, that works with all of the gathered evidence, has never been able to be falsified, and explains how people learn and has been used successfully to create propagandistic films. We should take that and bin it because social Marxism and the trans agenda.
Oh, that's a straw man. You're using serious straw mans now. You're saying, oh, well, you said this.
No, so I'm saying this is genuinely what I took away. I don't mean to straw man you. Anybody watching the replay can rewind and re-listen. I do not intend to straw man you. That's literally what I heard you say.
Tell him where he's wrong, Jeff.
Say it again.
If you're accusing him of a straw man, we need to know what the straw man actually is. So can you give a detail on that?
Well, he just said that because of what I said about them using gender sort of studies and, you know, silencing people, that was an excuse that all of your academia is controlled and everything is controlled by this central
Since
power.
Since that was my question, that was how you answered it.
I just gave an example of how academia is controlled. It's absolutely controlled.
Except and that yes, it's absolutely controlled. Counterexample, I already mentioned it. The SoCal experiment, which revealed the inherent problems in the gender studies and associated branches of research. And in fact, there's, what are they calling it? SoCal Mark II or SoCal... This most recent one where something like 7 different studies got published in a variety of journals and they were all horseshit and revealed and proven to be horseshit. And nobody's getting fired. Nobody's losing their job. Instead, they're reevaluating the standards by which these journals publish. Mm-hmm. They're examining whether or not they fucked up. They're doing the exact opposite of what you're saying.
Well, I was not giving that particular example. I was talking about other people who have studied...
But either your statements involved. Are generally true Hold and applicable, on, but, and they, or they're special cases.
Guys, we got to let each other finish. I know it's a passionate topic, but we have to at least be fair. Let him get his thought out, and then we'll give you the time to respond. So, Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, you're just trying to say basically, academia has never proven that predictive programming is a thing, and therefore nobody should take it seriously because no peer-reviewed journals have been published to uncover predictive programming, right? Isn't that what you're saying?
No. I'm actually saying that predictive programming, as you've described it, conflicts with social learning theory, which lays out a specific process by which people are programmed by media, and which your predictive programming synopsis contravenes by suggesting that they just need these random symbols here and there that flash up on the screen, or that you can take a series of movies that just happen to have explosions in the World Trade Center And because they see this often enough, they get used to it. That's directly contradicted by social learning theory, which says that if you want to program somebody like that, you actually have to show people doubting, people learning, and people coming to embrace what you want them to be programmed to believe.
If you show kids people smoking all the time, kids are going to smoke. If you show young boys homosexual all the time.
Only if you show people smoking all the time. Only if you show people smoking all the time in a setting and a context which encourages smoking and says it's a good and positive thing. If you show the smoking man from the X-Files smoking all the time to children, they're only going to associate it with evil government conspiracies and not with, that's cool, I should do that. You have to establish the context first. Random images do nothing unless we're already biologically predisposed to react to them, such as images of a naked human. If you have something like that, if you flash a subliminal message about a naked woman, that'll work.
We're not talking about random images. We're talking about a massive sort of organization that are controlling all your media and are putting these predictive programming elements into your entertainment in order to program you into their new world order. So
my point is that your predictive programming theory fails basic scientific testing. It violates social learning theory.
I don't think we're going to
Common sense. Hold on one second, Jeff. Sure. And yeah,
go ahead. What I think is happening is we're not going to get on the same page on this particular aspect of the discussion, but just so that we can kind of steer it back to the subject that we're here on, let's get back into the earlier I asked about when the towers fell, if it was controlled or not. And Jeff, you said that you believe it was actually controlled. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of tell us why that is? And then I know, let's just start there. Why do you think it was a controlled demolition and not that the beams melted from the heat of the fires from the plane?
Not melted. Thank you. I think we can all agree that the beams did not melt at the temperatures that were observed.
Yes. I did speak there. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're saying the structure collapsed because of the heat of the jet fuel and all that, right?
Or more accurately, that's a very high level. I just want to expand on it for the audience. Which is that the heat of the fire, which was not just jet fuel, but all the other crap you find in a building, which a lot of it is made out of petrochemicals, so it'll burn pretty damn hot too, was sufficient to reach temperatures at which steel will lose tensile strength and expand, rendering the horizontal supports incapable and insufficient of actually supporting the weight of the concrete floors on top of them, causing them to buckle and pull down, which would then pull in the vertical supports, which were just welded together in about, I think it was 30-foot sections. I could be off a little on the heights, but a weld is not that strong when you start pulling a building down on top of it. So they just start snapping, which will pull the whole building down and down and down and down. And that is more than enough to explain what happened in terms of the mechanics and the physics.
How does that explain Building 7 then?
Building 7 was hit by debris from the first two towers collapsing, as well as having, and that debris knocked out the firefighting systems that are built into the building. A fire started, went uncontrolled, and over in, I believe it was the east side of the building underneath of the penthouse, you had the exact same scenario happening where you have a hot fire from these petrochemical-laden materials burning out of control for hours until the beams on that side of the building, and that's why it starts at the penthouse and then collapses over, because the beam under the penthouse went first as the fire caused the outermost horizontals to expand and then collapse, pulling the building down on itself, starting at the pillar underneath of the penthouse and spreading outward as you lost the support, ultimately ending with the external supports collapsing, which temporarily reached free fall, but you can kind of expect that once you've taken away all of the substance of the building inside.
Are you a demolitions expert?
Are you?
No.
I'm sorry, if you're going to challenge me on those credentials,
I'm just wondering what you're, because like, I mean, am I supposed to be an engineer here? Or are you supposed to be a demolition expert? Because it seems to me like you're reading a script. And it seems to me like you came really prepared.
I'm entirely from memory. Here you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All I have up is right now the wiki page on social learning theory, our chat, and the live stream chat. No script. The only thing I have down here is the notes I took on the matter. I am an engineer, but I'm an electrical and nuclear engineer, not a mechanical or structural engineer. It is true that I did prepare for this because I knew I'd be talking about the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So how do you respond to that?
Yeah, so, I mean, okay, so you've got a theory, and it's the theory, it's the official theory. Is that not the official theory? Isn't that what the NIST and
I believe it is close to the. I believe it is close to the theory that was published by the National Institute for Science and Technology, as well as in multiple peer-reviewed papers, which have withstood challenge and been endorsed by multiple engineering and architectural organizations as being of sound physics and sound structural engineering.
So why is why is there over 3,000 architects and engineers that disagree with that?
Good fucking question. You should ask them why they reject basic science.
Well, no, I mean... I mean, if that's their field and that's what they do, and they're telling you that it's impossible that this could have happened that way, and how is it there's no other example of any other structural steel tower that has collapsed due to fires that has ever been proven in the history of architecture? How do you answer that?
Hold on, I'm double-checking because I believe there actually is another example, aside from the fact that you know, you have World Trade Center 1, World Trade Center 2, and World Trade Center 7. So that's 3, not 1. The specifics of each one, yes, they vary, but...
Okay, so while you look that, while he looks that up, Jeff, do you want to I'm curious, do you want to explain to us what you think went down?
Yeah, I think the buildings were rigged and they brought them down in timed explosions. I think they had to have the theatrics happen in order to obviously tell the story. It's not going to be much of a story if you say planes crashed in the tower and you don't have any images of planes crashing into the towers. So you have to have all the theatrics and you have to have it done at the most dramatic sort of delivery possible, in order to convince the people, the viewers at home, because that's what ultimately it's for. It's saying, we're going to take away all your privacy. We're going to implement a sort of Orwellian surveillance state, and you're going to all accept this because if you do not, these bad people are going to come and they're going to blow up your town. So they had to make it look as convincing as possible. And I mean, it had the maximum effect. Everybody that watched it, including I'm sure everybody here, saw it live or, you know, lived through that day and knows how traumatic it was and what a real job they did. They did a hell of a job selling the whole thing. But I think is Building 7 is where the whole thing collapses, like literally, because it doesn't hold together, that massive modern steel structure that was built to withstand. I mean, the World Trade Centers themselves were built to withstand the impact of planes. Even Donald Trump himself said that the World Trade Centers would never fall because of a plane crashing into them. And then 3 days after, he had to retract his... Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. He had to retract
Trump's statement. Believe me. Did you find what you were looking for, Nate?
So in addition to the partial collapse of World Trade Center 5, where they had floors, I believe it's 6 through 9, collapse due to fire alone, you also have an additional 22 cases from 1970 to 2002 where steel frame buildings were caused to collapse due to fire. So it's just not true. Oh, sorry, 6. I do have to correct myself. I was reading the wrong line there. 6 structural steel buildings, aside from the World Trade Center buildings, have collapsed due to structural fires.
Right. I don't have that article that you're quoting, so I can't.
Can you link that in the live chat? Name?
Linking it now.
And let me ask a follow-up question. Jeff, why didn't we see any explosions when those were detonated?
Well, that's up for debate. I think a lot of the architects and engineers believe that you can see nano thermite explosions happening throughout the debris as it's collapsing. And I guess like you would see with every, if you've watched enough controlled demolitions, they all look the same. They all look like Building 7 pretty much, unless they don't go off properly, right? So there's a method to it. And it's like I believe he was...
You don't use nanothermite in demolitions or any thermite because thermite burns too slowly to cut through steel. It also burns in the wrong direction. It burns down, not in. Now, you might be thinking of the thermite claim that was made, except that we didn't see the highly toxic gases that would have killed all of the first responders coming from a thermite.
A lot of people have died.
So you're just wrong.
That's not proven. You're just saying that. You're not proving it. You're just saying it. All right. A lot of people have died. A lot of people.
I know how thermite works. Thermite burns down. Thermite is not good for channeling. Thermite burns slowly. These are not things I need to prove because they've been proven.
Well, you can see.
They are known to work this way.
All right, whatever. You can see on YouTube all kinds of examples.
You just stated things out of your ass over and over again.
Oh, you're stating things out of your ass. What are you talking about? I'm stating things out of my ass.
Why do you think it's
you're
thermite,
saying that? Oh, yeah, it's definitely a fire that brought down one of the strongest structures in New York City.
It came down in
less than 7 seconds in a perfect footprint
it
of its own.
Come down in less
how
than
is
seven
it that?
Seconds.
How is that possible? It's not. Why are there thousands of architects and engineers that disagree with that? How is it that there are people that this is what they do for a living?
I can't tell you why they've convinced themselves of that.
Well, then I'll tell you why, because they looked at the evidence and they said, your evidence is full of shit, and this is a controlled demolition.
So we're going to appeal to authority anyways, why are there engineering and architectural organizations with hundreds of thousands of members who disagree with your 3,000?
Okay, show me one of their sites, then. Show me their site. I want to see their site. Show me a site with hundreds of thousands of architects and engineers that disagree with the architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Are the ones that came out against it, while you looked for that, are the ones that came out against it or saying that there is something more to this, are they still alive?
Pardon me?
Are the ones that came out against it still alive?
The ones that came out against architects and engineers are the ones that can you clarify that?
The ones that say that we use thermite to control demolition, are they still alive?
Are they still alive? I imagine most of them are. I don't think it would be a very wise move to start eliminating everyone, but some of the people that originally looked at the evidence were mysteriously killed off, like Danny Jawenko, who was a controlled demolition expert in Europe, and he was shown the World Trade Center going down in its own footprint, and he looked at it and he said, that's a controlled demolition. And the guy interviewing said, are you sure? He says, I do this for a living. That's a controlled demolition. He said, it's 100%. He didn't even know it was 9/11. Then he died mysteriously in some traffic accident. I don't know how long after, but not long after he had done that video sort of thing. Now, I'm not suggesting that it's anything other than an accident, but it is a bit, it's a bit suspicious. But I think most people that understand how controlled demolitions are done look at Building 7, if they're honest, they look and they say, well, that's a controlled demolition. And then how do we explain that Larry Silverstein himself came out and said, well, you know, there's been a lot of damage, so I called them and told them to pull it, and they pulled it. And the building came down. I mean, he clearly stated that they gave the order to pull the building, which is a well-known term when it comes to demolitions. That's what they say. It's time to pull it. So they pulled the building. They hit the switch, and the firefighters that were in the building talked about all the explosions that were going off, multiple explosions. So they heard all these explosions going off. What are all those explosions? Well, I guess there'll be an answer. NIST will have an answer. Your inane dragon will find an answer, I guess, that will fit that. But I mean, you know, I think building the, seven.
The structural aspects of it. It could be just the structural aspects of it. What sounded like an explosion where they were could be anything going on inside the building.
Well, that's then. But then I could say, I could put up the evidence and show the firefighter saying about all the explosions that went off. And then you could say that. Mm-hmm. You know, at the end of the day, what's the real answer? I mean, people believe what they want to believe. So if you don't want to believe that your governments are involved in these types of conspiracies, then you're going to do everything you can to refute any sort of evidence that's presented to you. And that's where we get with 9/11. I mean, it really is a quagmire.
Aren't you doing the same thing, though, to be fair?
Well, yeah, but it's inevitable. I knew this would happen because it's inevitable. It's like you dig your stake in the ground and you believe in what you believe in. I mean, I understand if you fully believe in it. And I do understand, and I totally sympathize with people that don't understand the New World Order and don't understand that all their entertainment is programming, that they are being dumbed down, that their minds are being controlled, that their bodies are being polluted, that their reproductive systems are being destroyed. I understand that it's a horrible thing to wake up to, and you don't want to wake up to it. So you look for every excuse to not allow your mind to go there. But, I mean, eventually the evidence is overwhelming, and if your eyes are open to it, you'll see it and you'll understand it, sort of thing. So,
all right. A name.
I'm still looking for, and this is a mistake on my part that I didn't write this down when I originally found it. I'm still looking for the organizations that specifically said we endorse the NIST report and the publications that followed it up. I did find a compilation of scientific articles that examined the situation, got published, and apparently support the official's position in terms of the mechanics and physics, which, of course, doesn't go into whether or not a spooky cabal of super powerful individuals who apparently operate a conspiracy of millions have done anything. But I am still looking for the endorsements, for what it's worth. The point being, though, that you're seeing what you want to see, dude, because like you yourself said, any of us could invent our own explanation that fit what you're describing. Any of us could invent it. We could all come up with whatever explanation we like to make what we like the case. There's no basis for it.
I understand that. Look, it's always best to be civil with people, and I don't want to be combative or anything like that. I'm trying to be open because I know there's a lot of people that are probably listening that are do not know the type of work that I do and do not understand why I'm saying what I'm saying and what my experience is with it. I'm not a 9/11 expert, and I never gave that sort of, sold that sort of credential for myself. 9/11 to me is just one of their many machinations, and I think that it is very important. And yeah, I do think the answers are important, but I also think it can be a quagmire that can bog you down. And I think that inevitably, it's all the evidence was shipped off to China and destroyed. So, you know, the people that had a lot of the evidence fled the country, and a lot of them were killed or mysteriously vanished. So it's obvious they didn't want us looking any further. And, I mean, the NIST report itself is so full of so many holes in it, and I wouldn't be the one to take that on. That's not what my forte is when it comes to this stuff. I'm much more about the social engineering of humanity and what they're doing to humanity. And that's what really concerns me. If you look on my channel, I know all my other channels have been destroyed, but I don't have 9/11 videos, or I probably don't have any up on Jeff Censored, even though it's a relatively new channel. I'm much more about social engineering and what they're doing to humanity and how they are depopulating us as being their biggest objective to stop us from breeding and to ruin our reproductive abilities and to socially condition us into our own destruction, basically. And that's what my sort of whole thing is. And 9/11 is just part of that. I think with 9/11, the best evidence to come out of it is what was achieved from it. And, you know, we had things like the Patriot Act, National Defense Authorization Act. We had the amalgamation of all the security apparatuses, the TSA, all these different agencies coming together. A complete surveillance state being unleashed, and a new precedent or a new sort of era of surveillance on civilians, and a justification for the government to go and spy on its own civilians, which is now people have totally accepted. At this point in time, I think everybody that uses the internet knows that they're being monitored or watched, or at least their metadata is being collected and harvested and kept somewhere. And they're trying to collect all their DNA now. And there's so many other things that I'm involved in exposing that, you know, kind of put 9/11 truth or the actual event itself. Like, the way I look at it too is like, you know, who had the power to carry out the biggest attack on the most powerful country in the history of the world? Do you believe that 19 Arabs that had practically no skills whatsoever would have been able to bring the most powerful country to a standstill? If you want to believe go ahead.
Hold that thought. Right? Why do you think that, Inane?
Why do I think what?
That 19 Arabs were able to bring the country to its knees.
They didn't. The country was not brought. I know we like to speak in that big, bold language, but the stock market took a small dive for a little while. People got scared, and we got talked into two stupid wars that we shouldn't have been in. Those are not new things. That is not a country being brought to its knees. Yes, it was the impetus to get the Patriot Act passed.
Me too.
But the Patriot Act was going to get passed within 5 years anyways, because they already had plenty of votes supporting it. It was a matter of time. This hastened the issue.
Well, I mean, it's easy to say it was going to be passed, but it certainly helps a great deal.
I would argue that that's events. Your own argument, though, because they're already in control, according to you.
What I want to do is to get, just to answer, I think, what the point he's trying to make, Inane, is that how could 19 guys get on a plane and do, like, orchestrate this the way that they did? Do you have an answer to that? It could
security
just be
on
that
airplanes. Security on airplanes and airports in 2001 was a joke. It was not uncommon to open up the cockpit door and let a kid sit up in the cockpit. I know people who remember getting to ride in the cockpit of an airplane, watching the pilots do their job prior to 9/11.
Kid is
they
not
were
much of a
not
threat,
secure
is it?
Doors. But the point is that these are not secure doors. Flight stewardesses are not trained ninja assassin security guards. Four guys with box cutters is a pretty impressive combat force compared to people wielding coffee mugs.
Well, what do you mean wielding coffee mugs? Surely there's many other things.
Oh, sure, the blunted knives that they carry on planes. When you're being told, by the way, by your training, to cooperate with the hijackers, they just want money, there's no reason to risk your life or the life of the passengers, so cooperate, sit down, shut up, they'll land at an airport, get their money, get more fuel, fly to a non-extradition treaty country. This is something that had happened before. This is something stewardesses were trained to tolerate. And the idea of people intentionally using these planes as weapons while in the air was pretty fucking foreign to the companies that were training flight attendants and pilots. The training was submit and obey, because that's how you get everyone out alive. So a bunch of men pull out box cutters and take the cockpit is not unbelievable.
Well, then how
using
are they able to
a few years
accurately
of flight school training to fly a plane into a building is also not that surprising or difficult. It's not impossible. These people land on runways that are narrower than those buildings. If you can land on a runway, you can ram into a building.
How is it that the Pentagon was hit? What was it, an hour, 20 minutes after the towers were hit? How is it that a plane, when it was known fully at that point in time that they were under a terrorist attack,
How is it a plane?
Because we don't have...
No, let me finish. Let me finish. Allow me to finish, then you can answer all you want. How is it that the most fortified building in the history of the world, the most surveyed building in the world, the most important building in the United States, how is it that an hour and 20 minutes after the World Trade Center has been hit, that was actually hit by a plane and that there's no footage? There's only a couple still images of an explosion. How is that possible? How is it possible? Who told NORAD to stand down?
Can I answer now? You've asked the question. Yeah, can I answer now?
Go ahead.
The answer is military radar, especially in 2001, does not cover the internal body of the continental U.S. They're too busy watching for fucking nukes coming from Russia. Furthermore, we don't have a shit ton of planes, especially before 9/11. We did not have planes sitting on the tarmac waiting to go, full fuel, pilots in the seat, 24/7. They were probably getting planes into the air as this was happening. I don't know exactly the timeline. Like I showed you, I don't have everything in the world pulled up right in front of me any more than you do. So maybe they had planes in the air, but were the planes in the right place in the air to do anything about it?
Well, I mean, how could you not have surface to air? You had planes. They even announced that they were monitoring the big targets, and they knew that the Pentagon would be a number one target. I mean, it's if any building's going to be hit, it's the White House and the Pentagon.
How do you cover 360 degrees of sky, all elevations? This is, you're talking about finding a grain of sand in a desert.
I don't agree with that at all. I think that's impossible. They knew exactly where these planes were going. These planes were. Oh, what do you mean bullshit? How do you mean bullshit?
They cut off the whole story around that. And before 9/11, you had to coordinate with each fucking airport to get proper internal coverage. You did not have perfect map coverage of the internal of the country using radar prior to 9/11. We still don't in many cases.
That's just unbelievable. I mean, you have the most secure building.
It's unbelievable.
There's no way the most secure building in the world was left wide open for an attack an hour and 20 minutes after the attack had already started. That's impossible.
You know how
there's no way. There's no way that you have to be dumb. You only have to be dumb to believe in that. You have to be really stupid. You try and fly a plane into the Pentagon. See how close you get. I mean,
I don't want to die, so no thank you.
I don't blame you.
But whether I hit it or not, I would die, so no thank you.
Seriously, there's no explanation for
it. We're coming up to the 90, close to the 90-minute mark, and I know that there are some people who have sent in some questions, and Steve and I have a couple questions, so we'll let Steve go ahead and ask anything that you have, and then we'll do Super Chats at the end.
Yeah, I got a couple first, for at least two things to discuss first, but to get this out of the way, visual contact for planes on a low flying altitude planes is extremely, extremely difficult. It's still into this day very difficult with a 360 degree range. I mean, you're not going to be able to visually see what you think you're going to see if you do a handoff contact. So if I'm having from one transponder to another transponder, that's fine if I have an active transponder. But for visual on the ground, it's extremely difficult to do handoffs. Any pilot, I'm sure, will tell you that. Anyways, so my first question is this. You had mentioned about Larry Silverstein, and you had said about pull it, right? They had contacted 12 of the top demolitionists of all in the world, demolition companies in the world, and I can name them if you really wish, but none of them have ever said that is ever used in the industry. So what are you using to determine that the term pull it is actually used in demolitions? Because none of the top 11 companies that do demolitions ever have said they use that term. It's nowhere in the industry standard, and they don't use it. So where are you getting that information that they use it?
Did you say 11, by the way?
Yeah, would you like me to name them for you?
Okay, that's a good number. I'm glad you said that. Yeah, of course not.
Oh, no.
I mean, who?
Oh, no. No, Jeff. Oh, no. Please don't, Jeff.
Well, hang on.
So do you have a company that uses that? Do you have a source of a company that uses that terminology in the industry?
I've got 33 companies that use it.
Okay. Can you give us one and we can actually look into that?
I
can quote them right now. I can give you the 11 companies I'm using as a source. Brandenburg Industrial
Service Complex. I'm glad that you do that. And there's no chance
Let me finish.
There's no chance that any of those companies.
Can I finish, please?
Yeah.
I have 11 reputable top demolition companies, none of which use that terminology. I'm asking you for one that does as a reference. And you don't have that available right now.
Well, I mean, did I come with that prepared?
You can get it though, right?
You can get it.
I'm sure okay, I probably
we'll
could.
Take a look up.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. Hold on.
Yeah.
If you either you no, can
what,
or you
how do you explain now, that? Let me ask you this. How do you explain on. It? How does it make
listen,
sense?
Listen,
you
listen,
know, so we much
we'll explain that, but let me ask you a question. No. Let me ask you a question.
You made the decision. Play the clip listen, of Larry
Jeff,
Silverstein
please,
and ask your audience. Why did Larry Silverstein just renew the whole
insurance? Mute Jeff, please. Listen, Jeff. It's not going to work that way, okay? I told you at the start that we would be very respectful with you. We have been, and you have to let people finish. Now, what Steve asked you was a very reasonable question. You said that you had 33 names that you could name off of businesses that use that term. When we asked you, could you provide that, you said, I'm sure that I could. Meaning, I don't think that you can. So, are you just making up the number 33 because that's a numerology term with Illuminati?
Yeah, I thought that. I mean, it was obvious. I didn't. I'm not saying that. I know.
Okay,
I don't
so
have that prepared.
Right.
So I okay, can't. Okay. I can't really okay, entertain
next,
that
next
because we don't have that prepared. Go ahead.
Okay. Next
but
question.
Can I ask
actually,
one?
By the way,
can I ask? No, just one ahead. Second. Can I just ask why Larry Silverstein would say that? Can you explain
yes,
why? What
because,
meant?
Yes, because the New York Fire Department actually uses that terminology, but that means to actually pull the first responders, civilians, and any reporters that are in the neighborhood. So when they say pull it, there literally means to withdraw from the active scene. And by the way, I went to firefighting.
They mean retreat.
I don't know if anybody knows that, but in the Navy, you have to train to be a military. You have to be a firefighter as well. And I actually did do JP5. Jet fuel fires, and it burns about 500 to 800 degrees. It's very hot, which leads into my next question. And by the way, to be fair, Dragon, I am going to slightly correct you a little bit, and then hopefully you'll take the correction because I know you know about this stuff. You had talked about tensile strength, right? Well, tensile strength is actually a deformation in the horizontal latitude, right? Compression would be the opposite. What happens is in the jet fire fuels, because you mentioned the polyurethane, polystyrene, and other things that have effect to do a synergistic effect with kerosene, you have what's called Young's modulus, which is basically affecting the stress with the strain, right? And so you have what's called elastic or plastic deformation that normally will go back. You have a certain amount of point that you'll be deformed, but it'll go back, correct? So it's that elastic deformation that it reached the point that it could not go back and ever be, you know, have the same tensile, not the tensile strength, but the elasticity.
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I meant elasticity, not tensile strength.
Correct. So it was elastic deformation that I knew you were trying to get to, and not necessarily tensile strength. Minor correction, but we want to be pendants here. So anyway, so Jeff, to your question, when you're talking about steel, would you agree that as you heat a metal up, it is going to lose structural integrity, right? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so now you have this building that's comprised of steel that has a very high temperatures, very, very high temperatures, that's causing elastic deformation. Is that building now going to be able to hold the weight of the floors that are above that steel that's being heated right now, right? So how do you explain the fact that when you have a rise in temperature or you have a rise in strain on the metal itself, why it would not collapse? What is actually going to keep that metal from collapsing? Because you keep on saying that, thinking, having this idea that planes hit the building and it gets really hot, nothing's going to happen. Well, that's not how physics works. Of course, you're going to have elastic deformation. It won't melt, as Dragon pointed out, right? You need much higher temperatures to melt the steel, but you don't have to melt it. You only have to lose structural integrity, and that's what happened. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't agree, because I'm not a controlled demolition expert. I'm not an architect. I'm not an engineer. I don't understand the physics. I'm not going to pretend that I do. I'm just going to say that there are a lot of people that are of those accreditations that totally don't believe in the official story. So it's not
okay,
like I'm not the person
reach.
That you're going to bring. Yeah, you're not. I'm not the person that you're going to bring on that is going to be the best to debate the whole structural sort of steel and what it takes for steel to start to collapse and the whole physics behind it. That's not what I do. That's not what I am. And I don't think I ever gave the illusion that I was that. I am telling you that it is my opinion that the towers were all brought down by controlled demolitions. Now, I think that
I look at the World Trade Center, which was not hit by a plane, as a perfect example. And that's what I say is that, well, okay, you could push the argument. You could say it to me, and you could even say it to me. I could even say this. I could say, hey, you know what? They say that the planes actually hit the towers and the towers came down as they said. I can actually, you know, I don't believe in that, but I could at least entertain that notion and still say that it was choreographed by the New World Order and that Building 7 was a controlled demolition. So I don't even have to necessarily, spend time with the actual two World Trade Towers. I could just look at Building 7 and say, well, that's where you have to put those explanations. You have to explain how it's possible for this modern, super, you know, strong steel structure to collapse due to internal fires. And so that's what Inane Dragon did.
World Trade Center had collateral damage. It actually had videos of it being on fire. Now, again, let me finish. There's going to be a certain point in the structural integrity of that steel where you go from elastic deformation to plastic deformation. Matter of fact, Ned pointed that out, and he's actually very much correct in the live chat. Elastic deformation will return, plastic deformation will not. And you have a point where you're no longer be able to go back to its original shape, so you have plastic deformation, and that building is going to buckle. That's how it works. What you're saying doesn't correspond to reality.
Yeah, but with the rest of
this, it doesn't match up
with the rest.
It doesn't match. It doesn't match up to where we understand.
Would that all collapse?
Yes.
How is it possible?
Do you know what a support beam is?
How is that possible? When they bring down a controlled demolition, the entire frame, the entire structure of the building is lined with explosives to bring it down because they have to bring down the columns in order for the building to come down straight, like in its own footprint. It's so other people don't get damaged. Other buildings don't get damaged.
I have no idea where
so what you have
from,
what you have with Building 7 is a perfect. I mean, it's one of the most perfect controlled demolitions. One of the best examples that is out
hold
there.
On,
it's what 6.6 seconds
you,
it came down.
Maybe I can answer this.
Yeah,
for you, Jeff.
You're
Steve,
wrong.
I just looked it up, Steve. In this article, they're talking about how the design of Building 7 wasn't to the norm either. If you took out one of the lower columns of the building just as a whole, the way that it's designed, it wouldn't distribute the weight evenly and it would cause a vertical collapse even then, just if you were to just take it out without any other kind of structural damage to the
right.
Yeah, so the design could be a factor as well. It wasn't nobody could foresee what happened, so just the design load took it down. Why is that not more simple?
I mean, if you want to believe that, that's fine.
Well,
I mean,
hang on, one quick, Jeff. This really makes a difference here. You've even said you have no expertise in this whatsoever, none. And I'm not saying anybody here does. Although I did take metallurgy, and I know Inane has very advanced classes in engineering as well. So you're literally saying that you are looking at reality, going, "Well, I'm somebody who's never taken a course in physics, and I'm going to tell people that have all about." Things like structural integrity, all about things like how a building should fall, all about, well, you are actually saying this. You literally are saying
you asked me for my opinion. You're asking me these questions. I'm answering the questions.
Okay.
You're answering.
And people
I'm telling you straight up, I
have
no.
To back it.
Yeah, but you asked me the questions. You asked me on the show. You asked me these questions. I answer the questions. I give you my opinion. That's what my whole thing. That's why I was saying.
Why does your opinion matter?
Well, then why did you bring me on
if
my opinion doesn't matter?
If you have no education. I'm asking.
I think my
question.
Opinion does matter. I think people are concerned with the information that I'm providing, and I think that
Jeff,
go ahead.
If
Sorry.
You have no expertise in this area, nothing that you can point to and go, these are the reasons why I have this belief. Let me show you how the physics works. All you have is nothing. You have vacuous statements that don't correspond to reality, that don't correspond to what we know about physics, and don't have any substance to actually convince anybody beyond just, oh, well, I'm going to believe this guy.
Except for the 3,000 plus architects and engineers that are out there that believe fully that the entire thing was a controlled demolition.
Why don't you bring one of those guys on, or gals, and interview them?
I'd
love to, but let me ask you a question here. How many engineers do you think there are in the world?
I don't know.
In comparison to 3,000, I'm going to tell you right now, it's probably less than three standard deviations.
I imagine
so 99.7%, and let me finish.
Yeah.
This is based upon scientists because there's only about 3,000 scientists supposedly that don't believe in evolution. But you're looking at a very small minority compared to the the rest of the experts. So if 99.7, and again, fuzzy, 99.7% of all the engineers are saying this was not a controlled engineer, what makes that 3,000 you're citing any more valid? What are they looking at? What is their physics? And why should they be taken seriously? Why should they anybody believe them over the 99.7 that says no?
Okay, first of all, 99.7, that's interesting. I don't know where you got that number from, but I guess you're just taking a guesstimate. Secondly, probably the worst thing for a career move would be to be a conspiracy theorist. They like to make examples of people like that. It's very bad for your employment. It's very bad for getting ahead in your corporation. So the amount of people that would you know, honestly be in those positions and honestly answer to put their lives, their families in jeopardy, well, that might be 97.7% of people that wouldn't do that. So I think the people that the 3,000 plus that did, that shows a lot of courage on those parts of those people to actually stand against the grain. And you're taking numbers that are just total bullshit. I mean, there's nothing to back up your stat. You're just assuming that any architect or engineer that hasn't come out in favor of 9/11 being a controlled demolition is against it automatically, when many of them would be very fearful of what could happen to their careers and their families and their livelihoods. So, I mean,
do you have the names of those 3,000 we can look at, by the way? Because I don't think any of them are structural engineers.
Architects and engineers for 9/11 truth or something like that.
Yeah, I'll give you
If you Google it, it says that they were not experts, or that they
think any of them were experts either.
Or they were members of conspiracy groups already.
Right. Well, you guys obviously have no desire to even entertain that this could be a conspiracy or an inside job.
We are,
so
we're talking
I mean,
you haven't given us any evidence to you. So.
That doesn't mean anything. Come on, you're talking to me.
I don't entertain the possibility of unicorns flying out of my ass.
If you presented a case that was strong enough, you would sway people. There's no reason for us to hold on to a lie. That's not how we operate. If you were able to present a better case that this was actually an inside job, or that there was something to the claims that you're making, we would change our mind. There's no benefit for us holding on to something that isn't true if we can clearly see it. But we can't clearly see it. It's not there.
Look, I'm the most censored channel in YouTube history. Do you know that? Do you know that I've had hundreds of videos pulled by YouTube? Okay, so what I'm trying to tell you is most people that want to have
videos. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they're what I do.
Just
okay, so
you get censored by
but just think about this for a second. What I'm trying to tell you is this: if you want to have a successful YouTube career, pushing 9/11 truth is not the way to go, and it's going to get you censored really quick.
I mean, he had a very successful channel.
That's not a credible source. Okay, so I'm not going to go there sort of thing. But what I'm telling you is that anybody that stands against the official narrative of any story, Sandy Hook is a great example. Their careers are threatened. They get fired. You're not allowed to question the official narrative. And my specialty over the years of doing this, like I was one of the ones that exposed Sandy Hook as being an inside job, a complete, fabricated fake shooting sort of thing.
Excuse me? Dave, mute him. Okay, I didn't know this. But if you're going to come on here and try to say that those kids who lost their life at Sandy Hook is a fake or an inside job, you're not welcome on this show. Dave, please remove him from here. I will not have somebody that spouts off that kind of ignorant bullshit. Not happening.
Well, how much different is that than the 9/11? Now, granted, he admits people died in 9/11. So, but I mean, if you're going to say that people that didn't, if you're going to say that kids didn't die in Sandy Hook,
there's a huge difference between the discussion we're having tonight and saying that those kids that lost their lives didn't have a huge difference.
Totally.
And I'm not going to be a part of any of that. Not happening.
I got a big problem.
Totally. There's a reason I bought this.
Yeah, somebody earlier.
There we go,
chat,
baby. Hey, come on.
Somebody earlier in the chat had said, they said slob, seriously downing booze on camera. I said, one, he's not a slob. You have a problem with somebody drinking, and I'm pretty sure he needs a drink for this shit.
I'm going to have one afterwards. I guarantee it. I was only drinking Rockstar. Oh shit!
I will listen to I'll listen to anybody's beliefs, no matter how crazy they are. But when something like that happens, when kids are being shot in an elementary school, and you're going to come on here and try to say that you exposed that, that's disgusting.
Yeah,
and it won't happen
here. Yeah, we.
Sum up your thoughts from this discussion and add any kind of last minute details that you would like, anything like that.
So it does feel, on the one hand, it feels a little unfair because he's not here to retort. On the other hand, I kind of want to say fuck him for that Sandy Hook shit. The shortest version is he can't explain how his super voodoo psychology is supposed to work, and I demonstrated that it can be used to prove that he's programmed to believe in conspiracy theories that don't actually exist by the exact same methods he presented to claim we're programmed to believe in 9/11. And he couldn't do anything about that except to go, those don't count, those don't count, those don't count. He, to his credit, had said right from the get-go that he is not the guy to talk to about the engineering standpoint, but he also then insisted that he understood the engineering standpoint well enough to tell a Navy nuke and a guy who builds shit for a living how to interpret the engineering analysis that was performed by professionals, and telling us that despite the dozens of articles that have been published in peer review, 3,000 guys who couldn't get a damn thing published other than one analysis that showed evidence of, get this, rust and aluminum was in the dust.
Well, that is thermite. That is thermite,
after the collapse. That would be thermite if it were elemental aluminum. The problem is aluminum was trapped in molecules, which means you couldn't use it to create a thermite reaction.
Absolutely.
What you
right.
could
yeah.
say was that you had red paint and red primer, and you had part of an airplane made out of aluminum.
Yep, you're exactly right. You need elemental aluminum and rust, iron oxide.
The slob part. I'm competent enough that I don't have to care about looking good.
I gotta tell you, listen, you can I just say real quick?
You did.
I'm so impressed.
I was gonna say the same thing you are. You did killer, man.
You were just
amazing.
Impressed
with what you. Yep.
I appreciate it. I think the biggest thing that I am owed any kind of a compliment for is not strangling myself or damaging my computer equipment in frustration with that guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just... Yeah. You know.
I mean, it's we all go through that. I mean, it's very frustrating when you know, some people assert things, and when you just question them, they lose their shit. It's like, I asked him very simplistic questions, like the pull thing. By the way, and I think he said not pull it, but I don't remember exactly what Larry said. But when I asked him, what were these companies that use this in the industry standard, he said before, I remember correctly, he had numerous sources, 33 separate sources. Couldn't name one.
I think that was meant to try and steel man him. I think that was supposed to be a numerology joke. 33 to year 11.
But still,
when I did research on that phrase, when I did research on the whole World Trade Center 7 pull it commentary, one of the things that they did talk about is that there are engineering companies, demolition companies that use the term for when they hook a fuck ton of bulldozers to the building and literally pull it down, which not even the craziest conspiracy theory suggests happened.
Don't put it past them. A comment just was made in the live chat that says, I see a little bit of R&Ra in a name. That's high praise right there.
So I've been compared to Aaron Ra and Penn Jillette so far this stream.
Yeah,
Somebody needs to call me a slob again to get my ego back down. This is going to my head too much.
Well, let's do super chats. Let's see what the audience has to say.
By the way, I was steel manning him as well when he talked about the 1,000. I didn't think any of them were experts, but I was assuming for arguendo that if they were experts, why listen to them, right? But he had nothing. Uncle Ned, $2. So any evidence of this New World Order garbage? None that I see. By the way, I will go on record. I'm Jewish. I am part of the New World Order, you know, and it pays like shit. So this shilling shit, you don't make a lot from it, but I try.
Everyone knows okay. You're Jewish.
Mazel tov. Miss V, $2. Is it possible for a tinfoil hat to be too tight? His was quite too tight. Arnie,
what are you doing,
Dragon? We know what you look like. Arnie, 200 no, sorry, in a Crohn's, which I think is like 40, 50 bucks or something. Hello. Thank you, Arnie. Rocco the Rum Runner rubbed out Okay, I'm going to say this right. Rocco the Rum Runner rubbed out Rico the Rat with his Roscoe for robbing his rum running receipts. And then Rocco the Rum Runner rubbed out Rico the Rat with his Roscoe rubbing for rum running receipts. Is that close enough?
I want to be that high. I want to be that
high. You want to try it? Anybody else want to try it?
I have a significant correction. This is scotch, not rum.
I feel this was an important thing
to clarify.
Yes, Steve, tell everybody your story about that. Record.
Oh, I had a friend who sent me a video card for my computer, and at the same time he sent this, right, which was 10-year-old scotch, which I was like, because I happen to like scotch. But inside was an imported beer instead, which, by the way, was a damn good beer, and I actually liked the beer, but it was one of the best pranks I've ever seen. He's like, I got you.
Oh, man.
And I was like, you did. But you know what? I got a cool scotch thing out.
Somebody like send Scott, that man a 10-year-old scotch. Someone send Steve a 10-year-old.
Yeah, or 12-year-old cannon.
Someone needs to send him a 10-year-old scotch.
Not
a 10-year-old scotch. A 10-year-old scotch.
Yeah, I don't want a 10-year-old scotch. No. Scotch. You like scotch? Scotch? Really, Kyle? Really? Awesome. Steve, you like scotch?
Scotch in my belly. I do.
Okay, I'm impressed. We all have some culture here. Cool. Puffleupagus, $2. How much Alex Jones merch just dude got?
Well, we know for a fact he does after the Sandy Hook comment. I mean, you know that's
yeah, that's where he gets a lot of
deeply
shit.
Rooted in Alex Jones.
Oh, half his shit was from Alex Jones and David Icke. Spot on. The whole programming stuff, that's all from them.
Let me make a comment about David Icke. He's completely full of shit, but I will tell you, listening to them, if you're somebody that could be easily swayed, he's a very powerful speaker. I mean, very powerful speaker.
Oh, absolutely. I've listened to him. I used to be on Coast to Coast. Yeah.
He's
0-132-132. $10. It would have been far easier to trick massive groups of people without the internet. Why did they allow the internet to begin? Why do they allow it to persist? Same thing with these conspiracy stuff. I mean, there's so many people in the entertainment business that not one of them has come forth and said, yes, we're doing predictive programming. Not one.
The question that I had that I had written down that I was going to ask him at the end, and I hate that I'm not going to get to ask him, but he made several references to the fact that these governments are trying to push an agenda that impacts reproduction and stops people from reproducing. And my question is, why? What's the benefit to the people who are trying to depopulate the earth? Because once that happens, you're talking about a huge issue because things take people to make, it takes people to make things happen, right? So if you are trying to reduce the planet, who are you going to have power over? Like you would think that you would want more power over the most people, but what do you get out of depopulating the planet?
I do think that we have an overpopulation crisis, and I think it's going to get worse.
Sure.
I don't have a solution, but I don't think that there's people out there right now going, you know what, we need to implement a plan and wipe out, 10% of the population, a decimation type thing.
We need trannies.
Trannies would help do it, I guess, maybe. $2, buy new Joker products. ESO, $2, thanks for an amazing show, all. You're welcome. And it was great, except that he had to go full retard as Kyle and I have a little thing, we don't allow full retard when you go to Sandy Hook. That when you fuck with kids, we will say something, and we don't tolerate that level of bullshit. So be prepared if you guys come on this show. Don't pull that crap because it's not going to fly. Mr. Cook Jr., $5. Can you back up any of these assertions about they, or are you just parroting basic conspiracy theory 101? Any evidence would be appreciated. Yeah, who are they besides me? Because I'm part of the conspiracy.
The New World Order.
Yeah, who can we name some people that can we get up one on? I want somebody
yes,
that's
can.
Actually in
Hulk
charge
Hogan,
of the New World Order.
Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall, obviously.
Gotcha. Will they come on?
You know what would be great? You know what would be great is if we could get O.J. Simpson on.
Oh, that'd be so cool. That'd be cool.
Oh man.
By the way, I'm just kind of curious, Scotch, with water or without? Anybody? What's your take on that?
Without.
Really? I like
a little scotch. Two drops per two fingers. So drop a finger.
Yes.
Roughly.
I agree.
It actually has a chemical reaction with the chemicals in the scotch to allow you to taste more of the bouquet.
It's more aromatic, and so it's more flavorful. Yeah,
yep.
Scotch just a drop or two.
Man is the way to go. Scotch needs.
See, I'm with
a couple of drops ain't. A couple of drops of water ain't making it not neat, man.
Yeah, it's still neat.
It's neat. It's anti-neat.
Ah, no. Try it with a drop of water. It's a little more aromatic.
It's messy.
A drop is not going to water it down. Matter of fact, they had a whiskey that was Maker's Mark that they couldn't meet production values, so they lowered the alcohol content by watering it down. Nobody even noticed. Nobody noticed. It went from like 42% to 40% like that, and nobody noticed, only because they were trying to make the production. So, yeah, you don't notice that kind of stuff. Ghostly Enigma, $10. Wait, they have been taking over the world for hundreds of years, back when there was far fewer people than what is now taking them so long. Who the hell knows? I don't know. I don't.
Good question.
Yeah, great question. Mr. Cook Jr., $5. He said, quote, "People believe what they want to believe. That's the most ironic shit ever. He's so desperate to conform to nonconformity. Boy, ain't that the fucking truth."
He lacks self-awareness. I mean, that comment was for him. Absolutely. Exactly. That he was talking about. That's a subconscious thing.
I think the mic drop moment of the night was when Dragon happened to mention, though, all these things that are programming him to believe his conspiracy bullshit, right?
Yeah, the movies.
He used the same. Yeah. The movies was brilliant.
It was over after that.
I didn't think about that, and I wish I had. I'm really quite envious that was such a brilliant move. Well, Mr. Cook Jr., $5.
What I spent a day or two researching was how many movies say what he do what he says they do versus how many do to him exactly what he thinks is happening.
Well, yeah,
I think that was brilliant.
You have a.
It was the obvious way to go in my mind.
Yeah, you have a really good knack of just turning stuff around. Like that was fantastic. Like you would just
turn it around. I didn't know that it was going to get into that subject though. I had no idea we're going to go from 9/11 to predictive programming.
He specifically told Kyle that was going to be something he had to talk about if he was going to be a guest. So I prepared, assuming that he'd want to go down that rabbit hole.
Correct.
Good.
And I'm so glad that you changed your mind. Like when we were talking about doing this on Twitter, I was like, you know what? He would be absolutely perfect for this. But you stated, you know, originally why you didn't want to. And I respected that. And when you came back and said that you changed your mind, I was thrilled. Because, and this proves it.
So
you did amazing tonight.
It was one of those things where once I saw that he wanted to bring up all of the crazy bullshit instead of focusing in on the engineering side, which any engineer could talk to, I went, okay, I'm not an expert by any means, but I'm an engineer. I've got psychology training. I understand woo, and my job is research. So I'm probably the best compromise that you could get on short notice.
Well, I don't think you were a compromise.
Right. Oh, by the way, it was not a compromise. Yeah, not by any imagination. Yeah. But you don't have to be an engineer to understand these basic concepts, right? I mean, you really do not have to go get an engineering degree. Do everything that I related and you related.
But it does help if you want to focus on it. Or for that matter, I work with a lot of Navy guys, ex-Navy guys. So yeah, somebody who's got that naval experience and training for something like this, where you can talk to fires, you can talk to the effects on steel and other metals. Anybody with that kind of grounding can speak to that. And I have no idea what Hodge D wants to argue with anybody about, but he keeps bitching.
I'm telling you. Do you know what your stay time is for a JP5 fire as a number one nozzleman? 30 seconds.
I was going to say run the fuck away.
No, it's that hot. You can only last about 30 seconds. I don't recommend it. Anyways, Johnny 5, or is it V? I still can't remember. Is it Johnny V or 5? Okay. Yeah. Johnny, $5. Hey, Inane Drago, you're hella smart. Yes, he is. Glad to see you on the air. The U.S. focused more on the external threats than the internal threats, a.k.a. USSR nukes. So we're not the only one that thinks you're smart. A damn Smith, £5. I wouldn't say America is the most powerful country in the history of the world. I would say it's one of the most influential. Maybe not necessarily the most powerful. I don't know. That's subjective. But I think that the influence.
It would depend so heavily on how we were measuring power.
Yeah. I mean, Europe has been a very powerful entity throughout history.
More than America, though?
And to answer you, Rasmussen, I mentioned Navy because I work with Navy folk. I'm sure Army, Marines, etc. are easily qualified in many of these same topics, but I don't have the experience with them to speak to that intelligently and make that claim. So that's why I'm limiting it to Navy.
And you do know that Navy nukes go through a lot of training. That's for damn sure. Michael W. Robel? $5. What are his credentials in psychology? I don't think he has credentials in anything, he said. Did he?
Right.
Which, again, doesn't really matter. Except if you're going to cite that the experts are wrong, you need to be either A, come from a position of authority to have some credence, or two, make a damn good fucking argument. A person could be a high school dropout, but if they got a legit good argument that is logical, rational, convincing, I'll be like, shit, you know what? You need to present this to the experts because you're making a hell of a lot of sense to me. And I'm not an expert, so you got to start somewhere. But yeah, I don't think you need to have credentials to make a legitimate argument, because we do it all the time, and none of us have really any credentials to speak of.
I do.
Well, in business, you have, because you have a business degree, so yeah.
I have credentials in fabulousness, which can apply to anything.
Flamio, $2. Who are all the members of the New World Order? I think you mentioned
Hulk Hogan.
Them all, right?
Kevin Nash. Scott Hall.
Kevin Nash and Scott Hall. There you go. Brant, thank you, Kyle. Great call. How upsetting. $5.
You're welcome.
That was for kicking him out. Ryan Stevens, same thing. $10. This goes to Kyle. Thank you. Johnny, again, $2. Bravo, Kyle. You're king among men. F. Jeffy.
Queen.
Fuck Jeffy.
Queen. Queen.
I'm king. He's queen. Dr. Zayas.
Oh, no.
$10.
Oh, no.
Inside joke. Dr. Zayas, great job, guys. You killed this one. Depressing that a huge number of people buy into 9/11, Sandy Hook, etc., conspiracy theories. Though, how do we fix it? Feelings don't care about our facts. How do we fix it? We talk about it like this and expose it. Mm-hmm. What else can you do?
I don't know.
Andrew Richardson, £10. Didn't the towers fall from the point of impact? Did the demolition crew know beforehand exactly which floors the planes would fly into? Yeah, there's been so many different things for the 9/11, all the way from drones and everything else. If you actually look at the video, something struck it, and it does look – and one of them was a plane. The first one was really easy to see, and I remember where I was going back to full circle. When the first plane hit, nobody knew what the hell was going on, right? It was an accident. It was, you know, unfortunate accident. How this accident happened, we don't know. But within about an hour, whatever it was later, when that second plane hit, that's when people were like, this is an attack of some kind. And I think that, Dragon, you made it very clear. Stewardesses and pilots were not ever trained for this kind of contingency. They were under the directive at the time to basically do what the person says, the hijackers say. They were not under the mindset that there were people so radicalized to try to take a building, or excuse me, a airplane, and fly it into a building as a weapon, right? That was a mindset that had been not instilled into the American public as of yet.
And we didn't get into it exceptionally well. There are two points I want to make real quick. One of them related to that. One of them a worthy shout out for anybody watching this, which is, as Jen Morgan pointed out, Miles Power has a series debunking 9/11 myths, and damned if it isn't a very good, very well-researched, and very well-cited set of videos explaining exactly why the 9/11 truthers are just wrong. That's point one. Awesome. Point two is, when they talk about how the World Trade Center was designed to withstand an airplane hitting it, what they take out of that discussion is that it was designed to take a, compared to the airplanes that actually hit it, a small airplane flying at something like a sixth of the speed that these airplanes were flying at. It was not designed for an airliner at speed hitting it.
And by the way, the Pentagon, he asked about that. The videos were actually looking at the Pentagon. They weren't up in the sky. They were, you know, for actual recording of the actual Pentagon. And the plane's moving exceptionally fast. How many frames per second are you filming at? I mean, you're not going to get that many stills of it. I think it got maybe two or three, right? So, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's a high-speed camera where it's going to actually show the exact plane, the whole plane. That's not what we would expect, especially from that kind of technology. They're entrance cameras. Yeah,
they're entrance cameras.
So you're not... So the fact is that you're not going to expect to see a plane hitting the building at that low of frames per second. It's just not – I mean, how fast is that
designed
moving?
Designed to catch cars coming in.
Yeah. It was just, cars don't travel at 300 kilometers.
It was designed to catch cars that were braking to stop at the gate, no less.
Correct. It was to capture just, you know, in case there was any discrepancies. So, you know, a plane flying into it is not something that it was going to easily pick up. Okay, Inane, let everybody know where they can find you as we wrap up. Your YouTube channel, it'll be linked in the description, and then Twitter, all that good stuff. Any kind of last-minute thoughts you have?
As far as where you can find me, like I said in the intro, look for Inane Dragon anywhere. I use that handle everywhere. Final thoughts? I'm kind of glad I went ahead and came on. But damn, do I still want to punch this guy.
You know you love it. We're glad you came too. That was a fantastic job, and a fantastic job. There's two more super chats. Wow, you guys are getting rich tonight, from Jungle Prowler. And Conspire for Truth says, I am related to someone who helped rig the buildings on 9/11. Cool story, bro.
Yeah, he has somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that's related to somebody that, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if he could bring him on here and the guy can actually show how it's done, I will entertain it.
Sure.
I mean, I know it's bullshit, but we'll let him take his best shot. It's not going to happen, by the way. Sure.
So, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. Sorry that it ended abruptly like it did, but we will allow a lot. I think we're a channel that no one can say that we don't let people that in other circumstances shouldn't have a voice, have a voice. You know, we are not known for, as the name Dragon has pointed out several times, there are some people that we just should not allow on here. I think he's said that quite a few times. So that's just one thing we will not take. We will not accept somebody that when children are murdered like that, spouting off with the mouth and doing that. But thank you for sticking with us. Hope you enjoyed the show. And tomorrow, Isith Original will be with us. So we're looking forward to having her on, and we'll have a good time. So until then, Steve, you got anything else before we close out?
No, I'm looking forward to that tomorrow.
Fire for Truth saying gladly he'll bring his relative on.
And just ahead of time, prepare. So his relative actually has evidence that he was physically there putting the demolitions on.
No.
Okay. Well,
who would admit that? Who would admit
Why does
that?
This have to be water?
And if he did do it, how come they haven't killed him for coming out? You know,
the Spirit Ward like
Order, they suck.
If that's the case, links. If that's the case, he doesn't like his uncle very much.
Just crazy uncle.
Yeah. Don't forget too, on Sunday at 4 p.m. we will be. Now it's going to be a dance, I guess, of sorts. We put out the challenge to Dean Esme because of the article that he wrote about Steve and the show, and he answered it.
He will, him and I believe it's Andrew and another person will be joining us. So it won't be like Andrew Rappaport. Oh, okay. He will actually be coming to answer.
Andrew, wait. The, I'm sorry. Run that by me again. Andrew's coming on here?
Correct.
There is a God. Thank you, Jesus. I am now a theist from the next.
Not Andrew Rappaport.
Oh, for fuck's sake. God damn it.
The guy on Twitter that has the icon. The icon symbol.
Andrew. The Andrew, the avatar. Stratulates. Oh, that fucker. Okay. Stratulates. Whatever. Who gives a shit about him? Whatever. So, are you kidding me? I'm getting so excited for nothing. This was like me on prom night. I got all excited for nothing.
Yeah. So join us for that, won't you? And other than that, you guys have a fantastic night, and we will see you tomorrow at 8.
I'm so sad.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.